Welcome back to the Roundtable's coverage of Hurricane Sandy and the storm that is hitting the East Coast today. And obviously, we'll be covering this storm throughout its duration. We encourage you to help us in our coverage in the sense of anything that you hear or anything that you see. And if you want to share pictures with us, we would love to share those with our audience. News@WAMC.org is the web address, news@WAMC.org, and we would love to have that information. We welcome your phone calls this morning, 1-800-348-2551. Normally, this is our question of the day segment, and it is our question is, do you feel prepared for the storm, and what are your concerns? And they are incredibly vague and extremely broad for an obvious reason, because we really want to open it up for whatever is on your mind. As for you, Alan,
yes,
when you look at storms like this, you know, we've been around doing this for a while. Obviously, you a lot longer than me. But it is, I don't know that I have ever seen anything quite like the ramp up for this. I mean, we've been talking about this for 5 days.
Yeah, it's been very slow getting here. We do know that again and again and again, people have talked about what you need to do. Everybody who has got a big tree on their land is worried. You know, we care about our children, our pets, our animals a lot. So that this is where we live. You know, Joe, I'm going to share something you just said that, you know, you live for this because that's what you are as a natural newsman. We're lucky to have you. So thanks for doing it.
Thank you. Well, this is, you know, obviously you want to keep people informed and you want
sure.
to know what's going on. And this is, and the idea, like people say, oh, you know, is it frustrating because we had a show scheduled and then you throw everything out and you do everything
sure.
else. But that's the exciting part of this. That's why live radio is so fun. So, and when we press this button and Linda in New Paltz, we don't know what she's going to say. We don't know what's on Linda's
we
mind.
We can only hope it's something good.
That's right. Linda, good morning. Welcome to the program. You're caller number one.
Hi, I'm caller number one. Hi, you guys. I just want to say my comment is super frivolous. I'm just, first of all, really appreciative of hearing your voices. And it's very pleasant to be ramping up with you guys, and I appreciate the coverage, and it's so much more fun to listen to you than National Public Radio. And my ridiculous concern is my hand wringing over the fact that I ordered the beautiful pajamas instead of a hand crank radio.
You know, Linda, my boy Jonas did the same thing. He called in.
You got pajamas?
No, he called in and he wanted a hat. I said, "Are you crazy? Are you crazy, hat?" So he switched and he got his radio.
Now, blessing.
Oh, if only I'd spoken to you.
Now, blessing upon all blessings, the radios. The radios were going out before we even knew the storm was going to hit.
Yeah.
And so most people
got them.
Got the radios,
but just got them.
Like Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Right, right.
And if you haven't gotten by then, you'll probably get it today.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as the mail isn't screwed up with the storm. But Linda, you know, I'm sure you'll ride this one out. At least you'll be warm and toasty in the
in your pajamas
if the weather
yeah.
goes out. And I am sure that, you know, next fun drive will offer crank radio.
Oh, and by the way, if you call in with your $100 contribution or
we'll
more,
we'll send one right out,
we'll
right?
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that.
Well, there
and
you
I
go.
Totally invite everyone else to do that, even though the pajamas are fantastic. They're going to keep me from listening to WAMC if my power goes out. So,
Linda, thank you very much for the nice things you had to say. I appreciate it.
You guys are great.
Stay
and
well,
you
and we'll look forward to providing you the coverage that you're looking for. Maeve is in Saugerties. Good morning, Maeve. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing fine. What's up?
So, to get prepared for the storm, we do have a generator, which we have never used before.
Yeah.
And we did, do a lot of yard cleanup and just take down the screen tent and the greenhouse and, you know, take down anything that could be a sail.
Yeah, that can be a sale.
Hey, Maeve, what kind of generator do you have? Do you have one that does the whole house automatically like the kind I want? Or do you have a lesser one?
It's a 5,500-watt generator. It can tie into the panel. I don't know that it's powerful enough to run everything in the house, but it definitely is enough to do the refrigerator, the freezer. You know, I could plug my computer in when I need to work, but I think we're going to keep some of the circuits off and turn some of the circuits on if we need to. And that's kind of like my concern, I guess, is when Irene hit, the power outages were so random that, you know, we got our power back in a day, but there were people a mile or two down the road who had no power for weeks. And I remember going to Barnes & Noble because I like to work on my laptop at Barnes & Noble, and it's like everybody was there.
Yeah.
People started bringing their desktop computer to, to work at the bookshop. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and we're going to talk to Paul Kiano in just a few moments, but, what we keep on hearing is this is a much different storm than Irene, but it'll be interesting to see. But obviously, the wind is really the big issue.
The wind is the same. I guess the river flooding may be less because it wasn't so wet this year.
Right.
But also, I have friends who live in New York City, some of whom are in the evacuation zone, and they're not evacuating.
Why are they not evacuating?
Didn't happen last time, right?
Yeah.
They evacuated and it wasn't needed, and so I'm a little bit worried about them.
Well, and that's another one of those cases of just better safe than sorry, as Ray said very early on in our conversation this morning. Abe, we'll be thinking of you. Thank you very much for your telephone call. As promised, we are going now to Paul Kiano from WNYT News Channel 13. He is our meteorologist on staff here at WAMC, and it is a great pleasure to speak to him again. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Great, Joe. How are you?
Doing fine. So, I don't know if you just heard the last call, but it brings up two very interesting issues about the storm. One being that some people are not heeding the warnings because they got, kind of got screwed the last time.
Yeah, lack of a better way, right?
Right. They were told, it's going to happen, and then it never happened. And that obviously is going to be a huge problem.
This is true, and you're never going to avoid that because until you can go to everyone's door and tell them specifically that they need to leave, you're going to have people who are warned who aren't going to get the worst. And those people are the ones that we worry about the most because they're most likely to not listen the next time, as you just pointed out. And I think that until someone or everyone experiences what the effects can be of, like, an Irene up in our area last
right.
year, they're not going to always heed those warnings. And it's almost like you have to learn by example.
What, as of right now, what do we know for sure about this storm as far as the timing goes?
Well, I think gradually, slowly but surely during the day, the weather's going to go downhill. We're going to start to see showers. They'll become more frequent and then a steadier rain, and that'll pick up. And we're talking about in the next few hours at beginning, and then as we get deeper into the afternoon, we're going to start to see more of that rain. Same thing with the wind. The wind's going to start gusting over 20, it already has, and then 30, and then 40. And then as we get toward dinner time, you'll start to see those wind gusts up to 50, maybe even 60, or in the mountains, 70 miles per hour. And that'll happen through the evening and into the overnight hours.
And as far as the rain, my understanding was over the weekend that there was still a great deal of uncertainty as to what kind of rain we were going to get, because if it shifted one way or the other, it could be the difference between a half an inch or 5 inches.
Yeah, that's true. I think we're pretty set. At least we are going with here at the TV station the idea that the wind is going to be worse than the rain. And that's because we're on the right side of the storm, or the side of the storm that doesn't have as much precipitation. But it can't be ignored that the east wind, or the easterly component of the wind, however much it may be, is going to smack up against the Berkshires, the Deconics, and the Catskills, and the Green Mountains of Vermont. And when you have that wind butting up against the mountain, it causes lift. And lift usually wrings out precipitation more readily. So in some areas, localized amounts are going to be 6 inches. There's going to be reports probably in the Catskills and Berkshires of 5, 6, 7 inches of rain, maybe more. There's always those one or two.
Paul Allen here. I have a question for you.
Sure.
Many of us don't really know how much rain is a lot of rain. Now, I know that sounds silly, but when you say 5 inches or 6 inches, that's a great deal of rain.
It certainly is. And you know what? A lot of places can handle 5 inches of rain without it causing major problems. But if you live in a river valley or a stream valley or a creek, 5 inches of rain is you know, could be to the point where the water comes up and into your yard or into your basement. And I don't think this is going to be unprecedented rainfall to the point where we saw with Irene last year. Mm-hmm. So people who saw problems with a few inches of rain are going to have problems with this storm. If it took as much as Irene for you to get water in your basement, then it may not happen this time. So a lot of water is anything more than an inch or so of rain. That's a lot. But when you start getting up into 5-6 inches of rain, then we'll really start to be concerned about flooding.
When you look at the wind, obviously there are many concerns that come with that, power outages being number one. As far as general safety of driving, of going from point A to point B, I mean, that's also a great concern, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I never like to say don't go out, but I don't like to tell people what to do. I like to tell you what the weather's going to be and have you use your common senses. But obviously, if you're out and about and you're driving around, the chances that something's going to fly around and hit your car or trees fall over on your car are more likely than if you're in your living room.
Yeah.
So I think the best thing would be to kind of hunker down and watch if you can, if you have power or if you're online. Just watch the storm's progress. I mean, realistically, we're talking about a 24-hour period here at the most where, all right, so you're not going to get to go do your errands today maybe, but you put them off till later in the week, it'd be a lot safer.
And you know you want to put them off anyway.
Yeah, why not? What more of a reason do you need?
Absolutely. So you think within 24 hours, and let me ask that question, is it all moving? Is it all moving? Because we heard from the very beginning that there was going to be this perfect storm quality, that these three components were going to work together. So all of that is, that machination is still with us?
Absolutely. It's happening as we speak. The transition from tropical storm to post-tropical storm and the merger with that trough out in the Ohio Valley and the cold air and everything. In fact, early this morning, the Hurricane Hunter aircraft found even stronger winds associated with this storm as they increase the wind maximum right now from 75 to 85 miles per hour, which is uncommon when you have, a dying tropical system. But because the extratropical or post-tropical component is taking over, it's actually intensifying.
Now, Paul, is there any good news? In other words, I've been addicted to the Weather Channel.
Yeah.
And I've been watching it and watching it and watching the big red glob. Well, in the beginning, the big red glob was sort of centering on Long Island. Now, Long Island, if you're watching it, as I am, Long Island seems to have been something else and came ashore in southern New Jersey. Mm. Is that good news for us?
For us up here, it's better than if it came straight toward us. We'd probably have more of a rain problem. However, one of the things that also goes on with this transition process into a post-tropical system is if you look at a hurricane, the maximum winds are right around the core of that hurricane, and then as you get further away, the winds lessen. But with this type of system, a hybrid-type system, the wind field expands. So you have 70-mile-per-hour winds all the way out, 2, 3, 4, 500 miles away from the center. So it doesn't really matter where that center comes ashore, New Jersey or Long Island, it's probably going to be bad here no matter what in terms of wind. Now, the rain, we are getting a break because the track is not up through New England. It's coming on shore along coastal New Jersey. So that's if you want to look at a good part of the storm, that's probably it for us.
Is there anything that has surprised you? You joined us very nicely on Friday morning. Here we are on Monday morning. So pretty much we are as expected in all of this. Nothing major has changed.
I woke up both weekend days and saw the same thing that I expected to see, which is kind of unusual.
Right.
Usually there's a lot of changes or or at least some changes from day to day. And I guess the one big thing is something that we hinted at late last week. We thought about in our minds, and it actually appears to be coming true, is that the rain is not going to be as substantial as in Irene, whereas back late last week, we still thought that that was a possibility.
When, and I'll let you go here, but just a quick forecast, I guess, of just what we can expect tonight, or this morning, this afternoon, and into tonight.
Well, today, gradually deteriorating conditions. It'll get worse as we get deeper into the afternoon. So if you do have to head out and do things, probably as soon as you can get that done, the better. Things will start to go downhill. Rain will become heavier. The showers will become more frequent, and then the wind will pick up as well. So gusts, while there'll be around 20 to 30 miles per hour in the morning hours, after the noon hour, probably between 30, 40, and then climbing up to 50 by this evening. So things go downhill steadily during the day today. So the later you do things, the worse off it's going to be. I think the peak of the storm for us in terms of the strongest winds and the potentially heaviest rains for our region will be between 4 p.m. and midnight. And then after midnight, while it's not going to be great, we won't have those winds gusting probably over 70 or 60 miles per hour. We'll probably see more of the 40-mile-per-hour wind gusts after midnight through dawn tomorrow. And then just like it ramped up during the course of the day today, it'll ramp down tomorrow. And still across the hills, we're talking about wind gusts throughout the day tomorrow over 40. And in the valleys, it'll probably reach 25, 35-mile-per-hour wind gusts.
Paul Caiano, WNYT News Channel 13 meteorologist, and his reports can be heard throughout the day here, of course, on WAMC, also during Midday Magazine and this afternoon as well. Paul, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for taking the time out. I know you're busy as all get out, and thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure. We'll talk to you guys next time.
Excellent. Cool. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Coming up next, we'll continue with the phone calls. We have Martha and Deanne and Christopher and Jeff and Nancy. And then later we'll be talking to Ulster County Executive Mike Hine. It's all coming up on WAMC's coverage of Hurricane Sandy. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue with Alan Chartok. We are in Studio A, and this morning and throughout the day, we'll be providing coverage of Hurricane Sandy, and hopefully will be the clearinghouse of information for you on the storm and answer any of the questions that you have and keep you as informed as possible as the day goes on and into tomorrow as well. We welcome your phone calls this morning, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-34-TALK-1. Also a reminder, if you have any news tips or want to tell us about something that's breaking or have photos from your area and storm-related photos that you would like to share with us. We've already received several, and they're quite something. We're going to put those all up on our website, wamc.org. But if you just send them to us at news@wamc.org, that would be great. And it will be a clearinghouse of information again, and you can see what's going on elsewhere throughout our very large region that we cover. We're going to go back to the phones. As I mentioned, in just a few moments, we'll be speaking to Ulster County Executive Mike Hine. Before we do that, we want to check in with many listeners who've been waiting patiently, including Martha in Boyceville. Martha, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Joe.
So, do you feel prepared?
Well, yes, but I feel, last year we lost a bridge to our house and our whole neighborhood was really inundated here.
Right.
Here's what I feel. So now we have the generators going and we're all prepared, but we don't know how to deal with a wind incident like this. Nobody does. So I feel like, when the planes hit the World Trade Center, then they started looking at who got on the plane. Then when the guy lit the shoe, then they made us take our shoes off. Then when the guy put his underwear on, they started, scanning us differently. That's the way I feel. Like, we're just doing what we think we should do from the last thing, but we have no idea.
Yeah.
That said, yes, I feel as prepared as I'm probably more prepared than most people in Ulster County.
Well, because you wrote out the last storm, and I think that, Paul mentioned this. I think that obviously Irene taught many of us a lesson, and you get ready and you know what's coming, and it's scary stuff.
Well, all I want to say is Andy Borowitz better be very funny because they got him instead of the crank radio.
Yeah.
Very funny that night.
Martha, we love you. Thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate it. Thank you. Let's go over to Deanne in West Sand Lake. Deanne, good morning.
Good morning. I appreciate you all being there live. It's so nice when you live alone to have some live person on the radio.
We're here every day, by the way.
That's right, you are, yes. Yes, I know there are times when you are, and I try
to... Well, no, that's true. No,
I try to tune in and hear those. That's why I like the fun drive.
There's always a live human at this radio station, unlike most. I will say that. Yes.
Not necessarily on the air, maybe, but... Okay, I think maybe Paul Caiano answered my questions, but I didn't want to just hang up. What my concern is I have... This sounds silly, maybe, but I have an exercise class tonight that I go to, and I'm in West Sand Lake, and it's over in Latham. And... I would be out from around 4 till 7, and that sounds like when he was saying he thought it would be the worst.
Yeah.
I hate to just stay home and hunker down if there's no need. You know what I mean?
Well, this is Alan. I'll tell you what to do, okay?
Okay.
Stay home.
You can always do it
what
later.
Are you out of your mind? I mean, you know, a tree's going to fall. There's going to be a big puddle. No, I mean.
Are you telling her to stay home because of a puddle?
You're much better.
Stay home. There's a puddle.
But a big puddle. And in the puddle is a shark.
Or the Loch Ness Monster.
And, you know, look, and I think that Paul said this, and this is exactly what Alan's saying, too. Yeah, look, it's common sense. I think if you look out and you see that it doesn't feel safe, then you're not going to go out. And if you do feel safe and you check in and see, you know, have things stalled and you listen to us and you listen to the forecasts and what's going on, you'll have an idea of what the conditions are and whether you can make it or not.
You know,
make an informed decision.
You know, Deanne, it goes to character. It goes to your character. Who are you? I mean, there was a shortcut when I taught at New Paltz and lived in Great Barrington and Alford. Every day I'd take that shortcut and it would freeze over and I'd end up in a ditch. So I could have gone and spent 3 more minutes going around the long way, but I didn't because that's what my character was. You see?
Yeah.
Now do you understand?
Yeah. I've done that before.
Deanne, you're a delight. Thank you very much.
So you're going to keep saying things during the day. You're going to keep us up.
We are not leaving the airwaves.
No.
We are here all day. And
okay,
we'll be thinking of you. And again, you know, feel free to call back and figure out what's going on.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Deanne, thank you very much. Great to hear from you. We're going to go over to Jeff in Westerlo. Jeff, good morning.
How are you? Well, first of all, I want to mention that this is the second storm in 2 years. That's every 100 years. So this is sort of a scary thing. This last one we had, we were in the process of doing something up on the top of the hill here. And we have solar panels with battery backup. And I never knew the power was out because of the battery backup. It was just amazing. Someone came up and said, can I borrow one of your generators? And I said, sure, what's the problem? They said, the power's been out for 3 days. So the solar panels with battery backup, they're expensive, but once you put them in, you're really in great shape unless the wind blows off the panels, you know, that type of thing. So that's what I'd like to bring out. And also the fact that we had this major storm every 2 years instead of every 100 years.
Well, and we'll be talking about that coming up later on in the program at 11:30, and be talking about that exact issue about the extreme weather that we've been having. We're going to go over to Nancy in Tivoli. Nancy, good morning. And we welcome your phone calls, by the way, 1-800-348-2551. We do have lines open and we welcome your phone calls. We'll be talking to Ulster County Executive Mike Hine in a few moments. But in the meantime, we do welcome your calls. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-34-TALK-1. Nancy's in Tivoli. Nancy, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. I'm so glad you and Alan and Ray and your staff are there. I love you all. And fortunately, guess who got a crank radio?
There you go.
It was in the very beginning, too. So I'm hoping if we lose electricity that I'll still be able to hear you on the crank radio. Is that so? Will I be able to?
Well, it depends on what happens at this end.
Assuming we are broadcasting, you will be able to pick it up on some channel, but if whatever frequency, and you're in Tivoli, so
right.
You get us on 90.3, or do you get us
90.9.
God, it's always set on one thing. Yeah, 90.3.
Yeah, 90.3. So as long as the main signal is on and we're broadcasting, you'll be able to get it. If not, then you may want to go over to 90.9 and try that.
Or you might want to go on to your computer.
If there is...
I don't have a computer. I think I'll just have to drive up and be there with you.
Okay. You can just come on in. We actually need volunteers, so come on in. Yeah, sure. We can do that too.
Okay, but might do that.
We don't want you traveling either. We want you to be safe.
But Nancy wanted to give us a very important thing to do.
Very important tip, because I haven't heard anyone mention it.
You're right.
Is you fill your tub with water.
Yep.
And especially if it's days and you're all using the toilet, you know, you got to be able to flush it. So you have
flush that sucker.
I always have a joint compound bucket, you know, next to the tub, and the tub's filled. So be sure to do that.
No, we did that at the Shartok House. We have two two bathtubs. But then you're quite right. The next thing you have to do is make sure that next to each one of those bathtubs is one of those buckets, so plastic buckets, so that you can go. Then you have to figure out exactly how much water you should put in the toilet,
to overflow.
Yeah, you don't want,
as it were.
Not more than half. Yes,
half
right. Half. That's right. And then you also have to establish certain rules about, you know, how many flushes per event. You know what I mean?
Right, because we don't know.
And what
know
is the severity of the event?
Yeah.
You know what I'm remembering, and this will show how old I am. And do you remember Snow Leaf, October 4th, 1987?
Yep. Oh, remember it well.
Yeah. I didn't have, I was in my home then. Now I'm in Ulster, and I'm in an apartment. But it didn't faze me, because I had a wood stove, and I had a gas cooking stove, and I had my handy joint compound bucket, and you know, but in an apartment where everything's electric, you can't be as prepared as you were.
Okay, we'll bite because we're looking at each other.
A joint compound bucket.
What is a joint compound bucket?
Oh, you've never taped your walls after sheetrock goes up. Oh, well, you've missed a great joy. But so I've done that over the years. And a joint compound bucket also has a nice metal handle on it. So when you lift it to go to flush your toilet, it's perfect.
Okay, but wait a second. You know, the problem with all this stuff is what we call unexpected, you know, consequences.
Right.
Unanticipated consequences. So if you've got some of that stuff left over in the joint compound.
Oh, no. You never do that.
No, because then you'd ruin the toilet.
We would hope that people would be
smart enough to figure that out.
To clean it out.
Never assume.
Never assume that, Nancy.
Okay, so I'm glad you said that. Clean joint pound. Because I always had like three or four of them around, you know, and then people would run to my house to get one.
Well, Nancy, we're thinking of you. Hugs, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, and if I don't get you on the radio, I might drive up.
Well, be safe and call first, but thank you very much.
And bring a joint compound.
Yeah, bucket.
Okay, bye, you guys.
Thank you very much.
We
love you too. Thank you. Alan and I may come from different backgrounds, but well, one thing we do have in common is neither one of us have done a lot of sheetrocking in our life.
No. We've paid for that.
you pay for that and let them clean out the bucket. Yeah. Steve is in Bennington. Steve, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Yeah, this is Steve. I actually live in Hoosick Falls, but I'm calling from Bennington. Had a thought. You know, we need to check on the elderly.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
We hear about that all the time when it gets hot and air conditioning and whatnot and the shut-ins. Yeah. And, you know, these kind of things often bring out the best in all of us. And if you you know a neighbor or friend, or you got a relative who's older and lives alone, make sure they have what you have.
You're exactly right.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, in many small towns, there's wonderful networks set up through churches and the temples and various organizations that help and to get involved with those. And they have a network that they can work through. And it is very, very important. Steve, thank you very much for the telephone call. I appreciate it.
Be well. Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Mike Hine, the Ulster County Executive, who will join us. You're listening to the Roundtable's live coverage of Hurricane Sandy, and your phone calls 1-800-348-2551. We'll continue after this short break. Welcome back to the Roundtable's live coverage of Hurricane Sandy. We'll be on the air throughout the day providing information for you, and we welcome your tips. We welcome your stories, news at WAMC.org. I have to say, going through my email over the last several days, many of the municipalities and various government organizations have been reaching out and giving information. Although Ulster County is winning the prize as far as keeping people up to date of what they're doing and what's happening, and a lot of that has to do with our next guest, Ulster County Executive Mike Hine. Mike, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. This is a little bit like deja vu for all of us, isn't it?
Yeah, bad deja vu, but, you know, we hope we ride it out, and maybe it will be much better than the last time.
Well, again, we have such great concern, first and foremost, for public safety. We were very blessed here in Ulster County. Our first responders were fantastic, and as a result, we had no loss of life, and that is obviously the most important thing to us. The rest of it, I would say, we can rebuild bridges and roads. We can't rebuild families in those situations. So we are encouraging everybody to take decisive action to help with their own safety. Obviously, making sure that there's food and supplies. Obviously, making sure to avail themselves of the shelters if necessary. But Ulster County has also been very aggressive in dealing with this post-Hurricane Irene. So we have an emergency operations center that is specifically tasked with not only handling your first responder side of it, but also things that you may not consider from a coordination effort, things like Department of Social Services. So if there are displaced individuals, making sure that they are cared for in this time of need. Again, we understand after Hurricane Irene that the response we made was fantastic at that point, but you can do even better. So there are lessons learned across the entire state and across the entire nation with how to deal with these kinds of natural disasters.
So, Mike, if something bad happens in your house, in somebody's house, what should they do?
Well, first and foremost, there's the opportunity to reach out. Don't hesitate if there's an emergency to call 911. That's a critical component here. Now, we always ask people to really limit, unless it's an emergency, the use of 911. But that kind of a situation is an emergency, and we don't want people to hesitate to reach out to 911, and we will direct them from there. This is a situation where nobody should minimize how serious this storm could be. So we want to make sure that people are again, well-prepared and really prudent. We want to make sure that people stay off the roads because, again, one of the dangers that you have in these kinds of events is serious flooding, and an individual going into that serious flooding, trying to drive through it, getting stuck, and putting emergency service personnel at risk trying to make those saves. It's unnecessary, and it takes away resources from severe situations. And again, in Ulster County, we've seen the worst natural disaster in our history last year, where there were houses torn from their foundations, bridges rocked from their moorings, and where there was no need for a bridge, absolute caverns opening up. So we've dealt with these kinds of situations, and I would say put all the pieces back together. But first and foremost, we just want people to stay safe.
I'm really glad you made that point, Mike, about the puddles. See, we were talking about a puddle here before. Remember that?
The big, giant, shark-infested puddle.
Well, no, but a big puddle, people think they can get through it, and sometimes they can. I think that's a very important
point. With so many SUVs around,
folks
see a little water and they think, well, my car is capable of making it through that. And in that process, they end up getting stuck. And it is an extremely dangerous situation. It doesn't take a whole lot of water to sweep a car off the road.
Now, Mike, we only have like 3 minutes, so I want to ask you this question real quick. And, you say we're prepared for this stuff, but the one thing that a lot of our callers have joined in and are concerned about, and they don't know how quite to prepare for, is this heavy, heavy wind, because you don't know. There's such a, the big question mark.
Well, much of the time for preparation has passed when it comes to those kinds of things. That proper pruning of trees around houses, because that really is the danger in these situations, where you have a situation where high winds hitting trees that have been softened, their root systems have been softened by water, toppling over and hitting houses, hitting vehicles, and obviously taking out large swaths of power. So we are in a situation where we want people to make sure that they are safe. That means if trees hit wires, that everybody considers any wire that's down live. God forbid you're in your car and a wire comes down, stay in your car and help and call for help. because, again, you should consider every single down wire live. And then, again, when we come out the other side of this, we will work to do whatever is necessary to make sure that people are back in their homes as quickly as possible, power is restored as quickly as possible. We're going to be providing regular updates. We'll be doing at least 2-a-day updates so that the citizens of our community and surrounding communities will be very well informed. It's something that we believe is critical. One of the things that I think people rely on is, again, significant information. So tune to your radio if you have a battery-operated radio.
Or a crank radio.
That, yeah. Utilize that. It's a wonderful source. WAMC has always been a fantastic partner in informing the public. And again, they were at the forefront of that during Hurricane Irene. And, I look forward to working with them as a partner in informing the citizens of our community.
Ulster County Executive Mike Hine, you're the best. Thank you very much. And I know we'll be talking more over the next 24 and 48 hours.
Thanks, Mike.
You got it, guys. Stay safe.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. You too. Bye-bye.